So Mike, just talk about this, the chance to come here but be reunited with Sean.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously one of the sole influential reasons why I decided to come here. You know, he's a great guy. I know his mentality. I know his mindset. I know the type of coach he is, the type of man he is, you know. And I like being around positive things, and he's a positive guy, so.
How obviously, I mean, calling Sean the sole reason, you know, you came here, how much interaction do you have with him, being that you're on the offensive side of the ball and he was underneath? And what really struck you about
him? Well, I've actually had more than usual, I would say, interaction with him. You know, his wife and my wife are really good friends. You know, it's something that I call the Breakfast Club, where myself and a couple other running backs would get up early in the morning and go work out. And he was always in there working out with us, you know, so we connected that way. And, you know, just being around each other, we got to know each other a good deal. And, you know, he called me. He was like, I need you. I want you. And I'm like, I got you. So
one of the things that Sean said yesterday to us was the fullback is a big part of this offense here.
Yes, sir.
So obviously that's going to be appealing to you, but it's not a typical thing that's said anymore in the NFL. So can I kind of address that and
true
how you see it?
Well, you know, like you said, this is going on my 10th season in the NFL, and the fullback has slowly been dying out. And, you know, you get a guy like Coach McDermott who believes in us, and, you know, he not only brings in myself but also Patrick DeMarco, you know, so it's something that we can help benefit, you know, really bring value to the position, to the team, you know, with our versatility, you know, helping out on special teams, doing that type of stuff, you know, the grit and the grunt work. So.
And how much of it is, you know, you got LeSean McCoy there and mm-hmm. trying to open up and help the holes and make it help him out to be successful, but also the other elements of pass protection and so forth. Give me a breakdown of your assets.
Well, I mean, I like to call myself multifaceted, you know. You like that word. But, you know, I feel like I can run the ball. I can block, obviously, because I've played fullback at a high level. I'm a great pass catcher. I can pass protect. You know, I run routes. You know, I play special teams. I do it all. You know, I'm a versatile player. And Coach McDermott has seen that in the past 5 seasons in Carolina. And that's one of the big reasons I think he brought me up here, other than, you know, being a great dancer and the leadership stuff that I bring to the locker room. So,
why is it comfortable for you, though, Mike, to keep guys loose in the locker room? Why does that come naturally to you, and why is it important for a team?
Well, I think it comes naturally to me because, you know, my upbringing, you know, I'm a product of a single parent home, you know, and I had to kind of make myself jolly to get by sometimes, you know. So I think I just exude that on everybody else around me, you know, the joyful attitude, the lighthearted spirits, the pranking, the joking and playing around. And, you know, I think it's necessary for a team because at times, you know, when things not going your way, you know, you can kind of get down on yourself. And you need somebody to kind of poke you in the butt and say, hey, let's go and have a good time with it. So.
You mentioned DeMarco there. Mm-hmm. Sign two is maybe a little bit more unusual for
you. Yeah, I was aware. I mean, like I said from the beginning, you know, Coach McDermott's been very upfront with me and very, very persistent in what he's been saying and consistent with it. So, I mean, I was aware that, you know, there was another fullback on the radar. But I'm not a guy to dwell on what other people do on the football field. I know what I can do, and I know I'm here ready to work, and I'm going to compete, so.
Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as more of one or the other?
I see myself as a football player, you know. So if Coach McDermott and Coach Dennison, you know, if they want me to run the ball 10, 15 times a game, I'll do it. They want me to go plow into a brick wall head first on the goal line, you know, so Shady can get in the box, I'll do it. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I just want to play football. I love playing ball, and I'm doing that in upstate New York now. So.
Because of your familiarity with Sean and the fact that you've known him, and the fact that you have an established reputation as a leader and a veteran, do you feel an added I don't want to say weight of responsibility.
No
but,
pressure.
But the fact that you can introduce your new teammates to what Sean is doing.
I don't feel any added pressure because what his philosophy, his mentality is the same thing that I have. You know, so I'm just going to go be myself. And me being myself is going to translate to it going on to the rest of my teammates. You know, I'm not here to take over the team or become the quote-unquote spokesperson or team captain. I'm just here to play my role, play my part, and have a good time doing it, you know. So,
Mike, obviously this is new for Sean as a head coach. And mm-hmm. No one really knows what that's going to turn out to be, but you were around him long enough to observe the kind of guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why you think it's going to work for him as a head coach. What were some of the biggest takeaways of Sean, the man, the coach?
Well, I mean, he's a guy that says what he believes and believes what he says, and he makes sure that you feel it when he's talking to you. You're going to know from the passion and the emotion that he brings out that he really wants the best for everybody around him, you know, and that's something I have to give tremendous respect to. And as a coach, you know, he's tough, he's hard-nosed, you know. I used to joke with him all the time because where we were in practice, you know, he was standing right in front of the running backs in practice while the defense was taking their reps. And I was like, hey, coach, you got to move, man. I got to see, too. He was like, it's my drill. And I was like, so? You know what I mean? But, you know, it's one of those things where he's a very tough coach, but at the same time, he knows what he's doing. So I'm not worried about him at all.
Sorry. Do you have any cross paths at all with LeSean? Do you know him in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah. I've hung out with him a couple of times, you know. My wife's from San Diego, so I've met him in L.A. a few times. Played with him in the Pro Bowl, you know. So, I mean, one of my really good friends is from Philadelphia, and he's from – they're really good friends now, too. So, we've been around each other enough to know, you know what I'm saying, our ticks, you know what I'm saying, know what drives each other. So, I think I can push him.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really, other than LeSean McCoy. I've like I said, hung out with him a few times. That's pretty much it, you know. My running backs coach, Kelly Skipper, you know, Jim Skipper was his dad. Was my running back coach in Carolina, so he's. I see so much similarity in them already that I can tell it's going to be a fun year. So,
Mike, was there a moment or maybe something that made you realize when you were getting to know Sean that one day he could make this step and become a head coach?
Well, I saw the intensity that he brought, you know, and the respect he commanded from his team, you know, his defensive players from day one, you know, when I stepped foot in Carolina in 2012. You know, so being able to command that type of respect from – you know, players like Thomas Davis and Charles Johnson, guys that has tremendous respect in this league, and they give it to him freely. You know, that's a guy that can command a room, command the locker room, you know, can take charge. So I knew sooner or later he was going to get an opportunity, and I'm just happy to be a part of it.
Going from Carolina, where they were when you were there, I know you had a couple good years there, but that had two.
Whoa. A couple?
Yeah, first to start off, I mean.
Oh, okay.
And then you went to a Super Bowl.
Okay.
And then you had a 20-year last year as a team, though. But what did you learn as a player through that process about, you know, maintaining that level, so to speak?
You know? Well, I think, you know, as a team, you know, we learn that nothing's given, everything's earned. But, you know, that's in the past. I'm a Buffalo Bill now. But, you know, as a player, you learn how to go through adversity. You know, you learn that it's days that you don't want to wake up and get there at 6:30, but you don't turn the snooze off because you have to do it, you know. It's a way that we feed our families. It's a way we take care of our livelihood, you know. So sometimes you got to do it even if you don't want to. So,
And Mike, just on that topic, how did you see Sean deal with the highs of going to a Super Bowl and that defense that he had as opposed to what happened last year where injuries really and you know, Josh and Norman leaving – how did he handle those? How did you see him handling both those years, you know, coming in back-to-back years kind of thing?
Well, I think he handled it well, you know. He, like I said, he stuck to his guns. He knows his team, you know, so he knew his team. He knew what we were capable of, you know. And like he's just like us, adapting to adversity. He had to do the same thing with Josh, you know. He did a great job. I mean, obviously we didn't have the type of year we wanted last year, but it built us for bigger and better things, and he's proof of that, you know. We had a bad season, but look at him now, you know. He's here ready to, you know what I'm saying, help this franchise go to another Super Bowl.
The playoff drought's a real thing, Mike, here. And it's talked about often. He's talked about the success that you've tasted.
Mm-hmm.
The fans really want a playoff berth. Coming here, obviously, it's not squarely on your shoulders, but what have you seen just in maybe talking to Sean, coming here, knowing that there is something that's kind of hanging over this franchise for quite some time?
Well, I think from talking to him and Mr. Whaley, it's more of a mentality thing. You know, Coach McDermott brings a certain type of grit and mentality, you know, and I think that's going to translate down to the players. It's going to make us fight that much harder. It's going to make us appreciate every moment, because you never know when your time's up, you know. So,
Mike, what's been your favorite touchdown dance you've done?
It's been a lot. I would say I don't even remember what year it was. I was in Carolina, and I scored a touchdown in Minnesota. And I did like a bowling thing with the football and dropped on him. I think that's where I got the human bowling ball nickname from. And that's stuck ever since, too. So that was one of my favorites.
Sean talked a lot about when he got the job here, remembering the game playing here in Buffalo and how crazy the fans were. I know it's been a few years. Do you remember anything about playing here in Buffalo at all, or the reputation even of the fans around the league, things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody knows that Buffalo is one of the most football fanatic cities, you know, in the country. I can remember my rookie year, 9-10 years ago, we were playing the London game, and so we came to play in Buffalo from San Diego, and like they were like, the fans are sitting right on your neck. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm a rookie. I'm like, okay. So you just getting screaming and screaming and screaming. And I'm just turning around like, man, will you leave me alone? You know what I mean? But then, you know, it's all part of it. That as you learn, you grow from it. It's all part of the game, you know. I love fans. The louder the stadium, the better I feel like I play. So.